This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, second chapter, text 59. Vishaya-vinivartante
Vishaya-vinivartante
Niraharasya-dehinaha
Niraharasya-dehinaha
Rasa-varjam-rasopyasya
Rasa-varjam-rasopyasya
Param-drishtva-nivartate
Param-drishtva-nivartate
Vishayadivinivartante
Vishayadivinivartante
Niraharasya dehinaha
Niraharasya dehinaha
Rasavarjam rasopyasya
Rasavarjam rasopyasya
Parang drishtva nivartate
Parang drishtva nivartate
Vishayadivinivartante
Vishayadivinivartante
Niraharasya dehinaha
Niraharasya dehinaha
Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya Padam Drishtva Nivartate Chant the word for word. Vishayaha. Objects for sense enjoyment. Vinivartante.
Vinivartante.
Are practiced to be refrained from.
Niraharasya
by negative restrictions.
Dehinaha
for the embodied.
Rasavarjam
giving up the taste.
Rasaha
sense of enjoyment.
Api
although there is.
Asya
his.
Param,
far superior things. Drishtva,
by experiencing.
Nivartate,
he ceases from.
It should just be higher. Still higher. Still higher. That's probably about right. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Purport. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayam, Pratyahar, Dharana, Dhyan, etc. is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life, but such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvetam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha E Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Govesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate. Taptakam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanshako Pitarubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vashani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehinaha Raso Varjam Raso Pyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. The restriction from sense gratification is required. If we yoga indriya samyama, yoga means to control the senses. If we're attached to sense gratification in this without restriction, then how will we make advancement in spiritual progress? If our business is to try to enjoy this material world, how will we go to the spiritual world? If our business is to serve our senses, how will we serve Krishna? Therefore, control of the senses is required. Control of the senses, control of the mind. Bandhuradmatmanastasya. What is that? Sixth chapter. Bandhuradmatmanastasya yenatmayavatmana jataha. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat. A person who controls his mind has the mind as the best friend. And the person whose mind is uncontrolled has the worst enemy in the form of his mind. The mind is the center of all the senses. An uncontrolled mind means uncontrolled senses. And uncontrolled senses means entanglement in material existence. In the cycle of birth and death. So restriction is required, and therefore, especially in the beginning, one is ordered. One has to control. One has to control. One can't go on indulging in unrestricted sense gratification, just like intoxication. How will I go on taking intoxicants and advance in spiritual life? Intoxication means illusion. Intoxication means the mode of ignorance. Now how will I go on in the mode of ignorance and at the same time become free from the modes of material nature? It's not possible. Therefore, the engagement in these activities in ignorance has to be stopped. Activities that bring one to, that create a false sense of happiness by illusion, have to be stopped. No intoxicants. Similarly, no meat eating. How is one going to advance in spiritual life and at the same time go on in the sinful business of killing animals and eating them? It's not possible. Therefore, no meat eating. Meat eating should be stopped. Similarly, illicit sex. If one can't control his sex life, how will he make spiritual progress? He's the servant of his senses. How will he become free from the control of the senses? Similarly, gambling. If he's addicted to gambling, how will he make spiritual progress? Therefore, one has to stop these things. In the Bhagavad Gita also, yesham tantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandvamoha nirmukta pajante manjita. One has to be freed from all sinful activities, antakatam papa. And jananam punyakarma, one's activities should be pious. Then dvandva moha nirmukta. Then one can be freed from illusion, then one can be freed from duality. Otherwise, I'm remaining in the bodily concept of life. I'm thinking I'm this body. I'm identifying with the senses of this body, and I'm thinking that to gratify the senses of this body is my business as a human being. This is called illusion and duality. Well, one has to be freed from these things. Dvandvamoha nirmukta bhajante mam jitaya bhuta. Then one can engage in Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, in our Krishna consciousness movement, it's an order for those who wish to be initiated. No gambling, no intoxicants, no illicit sex, no meat eating. Otherwise, how will one make spiritual progress? Of course, we can get a lot of followers. Do whatever you want and chant Hare Krishna or wear some tilak or something and get the illusion then of spiritual progress. But actually, to make spiritual progress, control has to be there. But simply to order, know this, know this, know this, know this, will not bring about spiritual perfection. Or it won't even last very long as a process for spiritual advancement. We'll say no, but then the senses will say, why not? Senses will say, why not? Do you want to starve me? No this, no that, no coffee, no tea, no cigarettes, no this, no this, simply no. And the senses will say, give me something, let me enjoy it. So it will be very difficult simply controlling, 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 controlling. Nirahar, niharasya, pratyahar, same thing. In the yoga system, part of the yoga system is pratyahar. Pratyahar means... No. Atyahara vihara. Pratyahara means, ahara means eating. And prati means the opposite. So actually, this eating is material activity. So pratyahara means no eating. Or actually, it means no breathing. The breathing exercises are meant, as explained in the fourth chapter, they're meant to stop the breathing altogether. One offers the outgoing breath into the incoming, incoming breath into the outgoing, and finally the breath remains suspended. Kumbhaka remains. And though practically, breathing is finished. So then one is freed from material activities. He's not breathing even, not to speak of eating, not to speak of anything. So this is pratyahara, the opposite of eating or ingesting. Stop. But who can do that? And for how long? It's not very practical for us. Therefore, of course, the yogis can do it. The yogis in previous ages, Satyuga, they were doing it. But simply stopping the senses is not sufficient. One has to get a taste of higher enjoyment. Then he can control the senses easily. Because he has some better thing. Because he has some better thing. Otherwise, simply to give up will not last. I'll take a vow to give up, and then after some time I'll think, well, let me think. But when I have some better thing, just for example, if I have a little biscuit, if you want me to give up that biscuit, that's all I have. Why? How will I give it up? But if you give me a big thali with samosas, rasgullas, puris, kachoris, then I'll extend both hands, I'll throw the biscuit anywhere, and I'll extend both hands. Yes, you please, that's very nice. Because it's a better thing. When I get the better thing, automatically I lose interest. If I have nothing better, then I remain attached to that, whatever paltry thing I have. So this is the system of actually becoming freed from material attachment. Not simply no, 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 no. But param drishtva. Drishtva means seeing. Param drishtva. Param means the supreme. When one sees Krishna, when one gets a taste of Krishna consciousness, then one loses the taste for so-called material enjoyment, which is very paltry. The so-called, the actual enjoyment to be had from the senses is very insignificant. So the example is there in the life of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was called Namacharya, the ideal example of chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, he was coming from a Muslim background, but he joined the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was known as the ideal chanter of Hare Krishna. One time he was tested because he started becoming popular, or his reputation was spreading, that this person, although he was coming from a Muslim family, he's so dedicated to chanting Hare Krishna. He has all the qualities of the topmost sadhu. He's gentle, he's pure, he's completely attached to Krishna. He's always chanting the holy name of the Lord. He's a first-class sadhu. So naturally, if someone gets some reputation, then there'll be people who are envious of him. So it so happened there were such envious persons. And one Muslim government official, he decided that we'll finish this guy's reputation. So he called some prostitutes and take care of this guy. Finish his reputation as a son. So the prostitutes, especially one, there was one prostitute, very young, very good looking. So she volunteered for the job. So you don't worry, you just one night I'll finish him off. So Haridas Thakur had taken a vow to chant so many names. How many lakhs of names was he chanting?
3 lakhs
of names, Hare Krishna. So he's chanting Hare Krishna night and day. He had a little hut often by himself, and he's chanting Hare Krishna. And then, so in the dead of night, this prostitute shows up on the scene. And she offers obeisances in front of the Tulsi plant and in front of Haridas Thakur. And then she makes her proposal. You're so young, you're so handsome, you're such a great devotee. My mind is burning up with desire to be with you. Please satisfy my desires. Oh, Haridas Thakur said, good proposal, but thing is, I've taken a vow to chant so many lakhs of Harinam, but why don't you just sit here and I'll finish my chanting and then we can enjoy. So he went on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And she's sitting there. And the morning comes. So he said, I'm very sorry that somehow I couldn't finish, but why don't you come again tomorrow, means tonight, and can you enjoy. So again in the evening she showed up. Again he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now still I have some chanting to do, but I should finish tonight at least, and then we can enjoy. So she's sitting, and he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But again, the night ended, and he hadn't finished his chanting. Again, he was very apologetic. And I've taken a vow to chant so many rounds for the whole month, but tonight my vow will be finished. So you, please come. So again she came, again she was sitting, again he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. For 3 days she's hearing and hearing. She also began to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then she threw herself at his feet. She said that this is the actual situation. Some enemy of yours has engaged me to make you fall down. So I'm a very sinful person, please forgive me. Haridas Thakur said, I knew all that. Actually, I was going to leave here 3 days ago. I only stayed for your sake. Now I'm going. You take this hut, stay here and chant Hare Krishna. So in this way, he was not attracted. A young man, dead of night, beautiful girl. And still, He was not interested. Why? Param drishtva. Because he was getting such a taste from chanting the holy name of Krishna. That the so-called taste of material enjoyment means finally sex life. There's so many little material enjoyments, but this is the Maya's number one star offering, sex life. So the offering was placed before him and he refused. Why? This little biscuit I'm going to get? I've got full tali of Harinam. I'm chanting Hare Krishna and feeling happiness. Why should I go after this rotten material enjoyment? This was his realization. So, of course, he was the most elevated devotee, but even a beginner can experience this taste of chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada came to America and taught this Krishna consciousness, and so many young Western men and women joined him. So American life means what? Intoxication, gambling, meat eating, women, all of these things. And the people gave these things up to chant Hare Krishna and join Srila Prabhupada's movement. Not only America, but all over the world. America, Europe, Russia, China, Kazakhstan. All over the world, people have given up this materialistic way of life to chant Hare Krishna. Why? That there's a superior taste in the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Not only chanting of the holy name of Krishna, but all of the activities of devotional service to Krishna. Just like eating, everyone is eating, but the devotees decide that why shall I eat food which is simply prepared by someone for sense gratification? There are so many restaurants, they're preparing food just for money. There are so many arrangements, people are cooking for their own satisfaction. But I can take food offered to Krishna. Krishna prasadam. Prasade sarva dukkhanam anirs asyo pujayate prasanna chetaso yasu bhuvir pravyatishtha. Why shall I take this? What to speak of meat, fish, eggs, all of these things. We can take Krishna prasadam. So the devotees get such a taste from eating the food that's been offered to Krishna that they forget. This morning we were walking along the canal and some people I saw, they're fishing. I guess they save money, they catch their own fish. So if you say to the fisherman, sir, this is a sinful activity, you're causing pain for the fish is flapping in your plastic bag, suffering, and you have to take all the karmic reaction for that. Why don't you give up this eating fish? He'll say, no, I like it. It's nice. But therefore our policy is not simply to say, not this, not this, not this, not this, but to give something better. When there are so many nice things that can be offered to Krishna and then taken as prasadam, then why do we have to take some, cause suffering for the fish just to get some nasty? So-called food. A better thing is available in the form of prasadam. So in every respect, that why do we need to go to the cinemas and watch some people? What cinema these days means watching other people have sex. Kissing and embracing and all of that. And people are paying money to watch other people engaged in ridiculous reproductive rituals. So why? Because they have no higher taste. They'll work hard and pay money to watch other people pretend to be enjoying. This is called lower taste. a taste of passion, taste of ignorance. People, they'll watch people shooting each other and killing each other and whatever. No higher taste. But a devotee of Krishna, he gets the taste of seeing some drama related to Krishna's activities, or hearing some narration of Krishna's activities or his qualities, his characteristics. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chirami iti rama padena so param brahma vidhiyate. The absolute truth, we're chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Rama means reservoir of pleasure. Krishna also means Ramante yogino, because the yogis get unlimited pleasure from the absolute truth. Iti rama padena so param brahma vidhiyate. Therefore, param brahma, the absolute truth, is known as Ram. Reservoir of pleasure. Similarly, Krishna, Karshati, he's attractive, all attractive. Why? He's the most beautiful, the most strong, the most wealthy, the most famous, the most wise, the most renounced. He has all opulences in full. So even Atmaramas Chamuniyo, even the person who's already feeling the satisfaction of self-realization and who's therefore already detached from material enjoyment, still becomes attracted to Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami was like that. He was a self-realized person. He was a Brahmanandi. He was getting spiritual pleasure from self-realization. But still he was attracted to Krishna. Because Krishna's attraction is the highest spiritual attraction. And what to speak of those who are getting just the paltry taste of illusory enjoyment from this material world. So Krishna, the taste of Krishna consciousness, is a higher taste for the materialist. It's even a higher taste for the self-realized souls. It's even a higher taste for the self-realized souls. So the practical method of spiritual advancement is to see Krishna. Therefore, in every Krishna temple, the form of Krishna is there. And then the eyes want to see something. If we say to the eyes, no seeing, seeing is maya, seeing is bad for you, the eyes will protest, I have to see something. Seeing something, whatever it is better than being blind. But, so we don't say to the eyes, don't see anything, but see Krishna. Become attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna. The Rupa Goswami has one verse. One gopi is speaking to another gopi. So what is she? Sneram Pangi. My dear gopi, she says, don't go down to the Keshighat. Keshighat is there next to the Jamuna. Don't go there. Why shouldn't I go? Because there's that boy who's known as Govind. So he's so beautiful, standing on the bank of the Jamuna, and the moon is shining on his face, and he's standing in threefold bending form and playing on his flute. So if you have any material aspirations to enjoy with your family and your friends and loving relationships, don't go there. Because you'll forget all about those things by seeing the beauty of Krishna. That means, indirectly, Rupa Goswami is advising that by all means, see the beautiful form of Krishna and forget about all of this illusion of the material so-called society, friendship, and love. Not false renunciation, that we simply give up, I renounce the world. But positively, that by becoming attracted to Krishna, one forgets the so-called attraction of this material existence. And then one's life becomes successful. So this is our program, Krishna consciousness. Hearing the holy name of Krishna, seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, tasting the prasadam offered to Krishna, reading books related to Krishna, serving Krishna. From all of these activities of Krishna consciousness, one gets such a taste that the taste of material life becomes insignificant. All right, are there some questions?
Maharaj, in the purport it's mentioned that the rules and regulations are meant for less intelligent people.
Rules and regulations are meant for the less intelligent persons. That means, until we come to the higher point, the rules and regulations are required. It doesn't mean that when you become advanced, then you break all the rules and regulations. It means that in the beginning, the only way that you're going to be civilized is to be told you have to follow these rules and regulations. Just, for example, a person who's... is told that you have to pay your taxes to the government. The government is doing everything for you. You have to do something. You have to at least pay your taxes. So there's some rules or regulations. But a person who's a patriot, he gives his life for his country. You don't have to tell him, sir, you have to pay your taxes. What to speak of tax? He'll give his life because he loves his country. There are so many. They love their country for the country. They'll sacrifice their money. They'll sacrifice their comforts. They'll sacrifice their life even. But you don't have to tell them, sir, you have to pay tax. That's for the people, minimum standard. That you belong to the country, you have to at least pay tax. But advanced stage, he'll pay everything. He'll give everything. So in the beginning, one is told, at least these rules and regulations you have to follow. But he becomes advanced. There's no question of rules and regulations. He goes beyond simply following the rules and regulations. He does more. Just like we're told, to be initiated, you have to chant 16 rounds. Now, those who get a taste, they want to chant more than 16 rounds. Why only 16 rounds? But for the beginner, you have to chant at least 16 rounds. Those who are newly initiated, you have to chant 16 rounds, not less. Because he doesn't yet have such a taste, but when he gets a taste, 16 is, of course, 16. Is that okay? Something else? So we're encouraging people to adopt this dress, huh? It's very interesting, you know, that to see where, from my point of view, I go all over the world and I see Indians wearing American dress. But this dress is very nice, actually. Such a nice dress that simply by this dress one becomes more congenially situated for spiritual advancement. In the spiritual world, they're not wearing shirts and pants. Do you ever see a picture of Krishna wearing a business suit? Or gopis wearing pants?
I think in Kashmir.
In Kashmir, yeah. That, but not this Western stretch pants, no. Kashmiri dress. That's a different thing. But this is simply some strange kind of dress, which especially is, maybe you can say in the cold countries, like, where it's snowfall, but here in Dubai, there's no need. It's very more comfortable to dress this way. I saw some book, Naipaul, one of his books, where his writing, but he was telling about one Bengali gentleman, and he was attending he started working for a big Western multinational, and then he started dressing like everyone in his group, but he was He also used to move in some more traditional circles, but in those traditional circles still he would come wearing his Western outfit and a shirt and a jacket on top of that and the whole thing, and all sweaty and in Calcutta, you know, completely. And at some point he looked at himself and he said, "What have I done to myself?" He expressed himself that, "What have I done to myself?" And everybody else in that circle, they were all wearing kurtas and dhotis, and he's wearing this Western stuff and feeling totally physically uncomfortable. And the whole thing was an unnecessary, you know, now I look like whoever Raymond is. But they've named that line of cloth after. Now I look like Raymond or Harry. Raymond or Harry. These people. So it's not very much required. This cloth is nice and cheap. Easy to keep clean also. Comfortable. Very nice. And ladies especially, dressed in Indian dress is so nice. Actually in America, now we have so many Indian people, but back in when I was growing up, means 1950s, 1960s, there were practically no Indian people in America at that time. The only time we used to see maybe one or two Indian people is when we used to walk on the Upper East Side of New York where the United Nations was. And then maybe you'd see someone attached to a diplomatic mission. And the ladies looked so nice in their saris, you know. It was completely foreign, completely not at all what the way everybody else was dressing. But it's so nice, elegant and beautiful. That's the impression, so fantastic. And the stuff that's invented in America just doesn't compare. So nice. Nice form of dress. So we're encouraging. It's one less change you have to make when you go to the spiritual world. You won't have to give up your tie and your jeans and your business suit, because already you'll have been accustomed, and I don't require these. So it's one less change. All right? Thank you very much. Then you can all look like Nandu. See how first class he looks. All right. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj.